If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are daft for Donald, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice, just thinking about planning or replanning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and the wait seems even longer than the queue times at Flight of Passage. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times, and there was some very special cast member magic for this week's guest, David.
We were sort of standing there and we had like tears in our eyes. It was just completely out of the blue.
More from David very soon, also answering your Walt Disney World questions and giving you some top tips to have the most magical time at the most magical place on earth. And don't forget to keep in touch with us as well on the socials, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Don't forget, if you've got any questions, you can always DM me on any of the socials. Some questions are much easier to answer than others, like this week's question. This came through on Instagram from, I think it's LALA with numbers. I'm really sure how to pronounce it, but you'll know who you are. I've heard that you can get free water in the theme parks. How and where? Simple question. Yes, you can get free water in the parks. You can't get free bottled water. You can't just rock up and take a bottle of water and hydrate yourself. That would be lovely, but you can't do that. But tap water is free. There's also loads of water fountains around the parks as well. And they've also installed those refillable. If you've got a refillable bottle, you can refill those as well. But best thing is, go to a quick service location and ask for a free cup of tap water. And that's what they'll do. They'll give you the tap water. And I've also heard that if you go to the Starbucks in the parks, the tap water there is nicer because it's filtered. Any questions? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical is where we are. And if you want to be a podcast guest, if you love talking about Walt Disney World, doesn't matter how many times you've been or the last time you've been, we'd love to get you as a guest on the podcast, like this week's guest, David. The question we always start with, David, tell us before we delve into your Disney stories. Why do you love Walt Disney World?
Okay, yeah, so having a think about this one. So I really enjoy the whole theming of all the resorts, the different parks. The sort of like the attention to detail is fantastic. And I feel like when you're there, you're so sort of immersed in everything. And just like the whole experience, it's just so much more than you get from a theme park in the UK. It's sort of a completely different level. And I've not really been anywhere like it before with that sort of a level of detail and immersiveness, I suppose.
So tell me about the first time you went. Was it an instant love of Walt Disney World, or were you too young to remember it? Tell me about your first visit.
So I was actually quite a late starter. First time I went was 1998. So I was aged 18 at that point. Had never had holiday sort of like that before, you know, with my parents, had been to different resorts, completely different to anything I'd ever experienced. I'd actually thought that it wouldn't be a holiday that I would particularly enjoy. But then my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife, persuaded me to visit with her family. And I haven't looked back since. So I've been back.
Right. So you went because of love, really?
Well, yeah, she sort of, you know, there was an opportunity to go with her family and decided, you know, go for it, see what it's like. And then I think we've been back probably 6 times since.
So has it now become your magical place for you and your wife?
Yes, and our children as well.
So how many children do you have?
So we have 2 children, both boys. Our youngest, we took him to Disney World aged 6 months.
Right.
And he's now 5 years old.
Oh, he's a perfect Disney age.
Yeah, and he's been 3 times since then.
He's been 3 times and he's only 5 years old.
Yeah.
Probably more times than a lot of people listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Who are in their 30s or 40s.
Yeah, we went sort of when he was 6 months old and enjoyed it so much, and it was just so, you know, you can take a child of that age on quite a few rides.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, it scared the life out of him when he went on Pirates of the Caribbean. He grabbed on very tightly. But yeah, he loved it. Just sort of the excitement and, you know, the characters were great with him. So yeah, we took him back the next year as well.
So what do you remember about your first visit then, back in 98?
I remember it being very, very hot. I think I'd never experienced heat like that before. It was the summer.
So July, August time.
Yeah, July, August time.
Peak humidity, yeah.
Yeah. And I just remember, I suppose, just like walking down Main Street, and then you sort of look for the scenery to end, but you kind of don't see past that because I think it's so well done.
Yeah.
And then just like the rides just being on a completely different level to anything that I'd ever experienced before.
Mind blown. Mind blown. What do you remember about the first time you took your boys?
I suppose the first time, I think the thing that we were most concerned about was the flight. You know, having a six-month-old on a sort of an eight, nine-hour flight, we thought it was going to be horrific. You know, and at that age, obviously, they don't have their own seat. So you've got to factor in, you know, them having a nap, you know, hoping that they behave and that they don't just scream the whole flight. But actually, when we got on the plane, he was incredibly well-behaved. You know, staff were fantastic, and that went really, really smoothly. And then getting into the park, I just remember, you know, and I suppose a child at the age of five, you know, when they're excited, they do things like, you know, if you're holding them, they like kick their legs and things. And I just remember we had a character dining experience, and one of the characters came over, and yeah, Samuel, who's my youngest, was just kicking his legs, you know, 10th of the dozen. With excitement, and we just had, you know, some great, just great memories, really. And actually feeling like we felt pretty chilled out on that holiday as well, which you don't really expect. But, you know, we hired things like a double stroller. So that definitely helped because, you know, our youngest was only, I think he was about three at the time.
So he had a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old.
Yeah. Yeah. Double buggy. And you kind of, with Disney as well, you know, you eat a lot of food, but then actually you walk quite a lot of distance as well.
Yeah, that's the excuse I always give myself when I'm eating too much, yeah.
Yeah, so you can have lots of snacks and...
yeah, keep you going.
Yeah, keep you going. And I think I was tracking some of the, you know, distance we walked. And I think when we went round Epcot, we did nearly 10 miles in one day, which is a bit crazy, really.
Yeah, but, you know, you wouldn't think it, would you?
No, not at all. But I think because it's so vast... You know, it's interesting just to have a look back and say, okay, well, you know, that's why I haven't put on loads of weight because I've been doing all this walking.
Yeah, well, I still put on weight. This is what I don't understand. I do the walking, but I do the eating. Maybe I do too much more eating than I do walking. Of all the times you've been, have you got a particular favourite memory?
The last time we went was summer 2019, and we went to the Tusker House for breakfast at the Animal Kingdom.
That's a great character meet buffet. Yeah, I love that.
And so we went there, you know, just before the main park opened. So, you know, that's, I suppose that's a bit of a tip, you know, if you can get in a dining reservation ahead of the park opening, you've then got prime access sort of later on. We were queuing to go in and we went to speak to the cast member and she's, you know, give you a buzzer. When it's your turn to go to your table, you know, it buzzes and you go over. And we started to walk in the main building with the cast member, and she had like a headset on. And I think it was sort of, you know, to manage the tables and, you know, to make sure that people weren't waiting too long and so on. And she said, oh, hang on a minute. I've just got a message through on my speaker. Your table isn't quite ready at the moment. I'm really sorry. And then she sort of said, but, you know, we could kill some time if you want. And, we're going... go around the side of the building, we'll take some photos, you know, just to kill some time, and then your table will be ready and then we can go in. And we thought at the time, well, you know, okay, fair enough. It was a bit of a strange thing to do, but, you know, we thought we'd go with it. And then she took us around the side of the building and sort of the building itself that the Tusker House is in, the theming of it, so it looks a bit run down from the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the side of the building, there was, it was just like, you know, to look like walls, you know, walls. And then there was like a door, which was actually a fake door that didn't open. But she was getting us to take all these photos and look in different directions and stuff. And then at one point she said, oh, can you pick up Samuel? That's the youngest. Get him to grab onto the door. You all carry him and look like you're pulling him. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. You know, she's taking all these photos on my phone at this point. And I thought, okay, this is a bit weird, but we'll just do it. And then she was saying, all right, look up and then look down and then look right. And then as we looked, she said to the look to the left, there was four characters. So we had Mickey, Donald, Daisy and Goofy in full safari kit.
Oh.
Just completely out of the blue appeared. And then they did like a private photo shoot with us.
With all of them?
Yeah, all of them. Which is kind of quite rare. But it was just amazing. And then, we were sort of standing there and we had like tears in our eyes. It was just completely out of the blue. And it was just like one of those like little magical experiences that the cast members do for you.
Yeah.
And we had like a similar thing a few days later. We were in Magic Kingdom and we're on the dining plan. So we had, you know, magic bands. One of the kids wanted to get some cotton candy. I'll call it the American phrase.
Oh, you're so American, David.
I know, that was good, wasn't it? we went over there to go and say, okay, can you take it off our snack credits? And the guy went, oh, no, it's on Mickey. It was so funny because there's my mother-in-law was with us as well, and she had tears in her eyes. She was like, I can't believe that Mickey's just bought us candy floss. It was so funny. But it was just like all the little things that cast members do.
Those lovely little moments, they are really what makes your trip sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah. And we had when they did that photo shoot, I think I have about 100 photos on my phone that the lady was taking. It's just really cool.
Priceless. We'll chat some more very soon, David. But first up, let's find out what's been going on in Walt Disney World. Let's get a latest news update. Latest news from Walt Disney World. Boo Bash tickets are now on sale. This is the event that's replacing the not-so-scary Halloween parties. It's an after-hours event rather than a party. Tickets start from $129. They go up to $199 on actual Halloween night. So you don't get the fireworks or the parades, but you do get cavalcades and a few special things happening. Tickets went on sale earlier this week for people who've already got reservations for Disney World resorts. Apparently it was a bit of a nightmare to get through because they're only on sale on the phones. But Halloween night, tickets have already gone, already sold out. So the prices are higher than the Halloween party. You're getting less, but people are still wanting to go. We're desperate for that Disney fix. There's more controversy as well coming over from Walt Disney World. Ohana, one of the best restaurants to eat at over at the Polynesian Resort, is to reopen very soon. It'll be reopening for breakfast, but there'll be no characters. You want to meet Lilo and Stitch and Mickey in his Hawaiian gear? Well, he's not going to be here yet. And at dinner, there is a slightly revamped menu and there will be no noodles on it. Yes. The Disney World fans are in uproar. I'm not quite sure whether this is just a temporary menu to stop the servers having to come round as much. So maybe it will be changed because it was such a popular menu and such great food at Ohana. I don't really understand why they've changed it. Also, there is a new look family style meal coming to Tusker House, one of my favourite places to eat at Animal Kingdom. You can dine with the gang again, but rather than getting up to go to a buffet, the food will come to you. On the subject of food, by the way, still no news about the dining plan. We've got no news about fast passes, but fireworks could be coming very soon. The new Harmony Us, the new fireworks evening display at Epcot, has been tested in full one night last week. The whole 19-minute display was given a full run through. So are fireworks coming back very soon? Epcot is a great place to do it because people can stand around the lagoon and be socially distanced. And maybe the 4th of July, Independence Day, will that be the date that fireworks return? We'll have to wait and see. Don't forget to keep up to date with all the news from the parks. Give us a follow, give us a like on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or all of them. We are at PodMagical. Back to David, who is on this podcast. He's had some great stories so far. He seems to be a very lucky person to go with. I would like to ask you something, actually. What would be your perfect Disney day?
Wow, okay. I don't know, starting off somewhere having, having breakfast, you know, maybe Magic Kingdom.
Would you go buffet breakfast? Would you go character breakfast or just grab something?
Kind of done a mixture of all of those things. But sometimes it's nice just to go to like the Starbucks on Main Street and they do like these fantastic Mickey shaped like cinnamon buns.
Oh, they're so massive. Yeah.
Yeah, which it's kind of like that's filled you up for, you know, a good few hours. And then there's like a nice sort of like seating area there and you can just look over the park. So probably sort of sit outside, you know, have like a snacky type breakfast, just kind of you know, do a bit of people watching, watch the park start to fill up. So that would be cool. And then, you know, go on a selection of different rides, you know, classic rides such as, you know, Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, all those kind of things. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe go back to the resort for a bit. Because we feel like it's always really important just to have a bit of downtime.
Two little kids as well, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, just maybe go and chill out there, go in the pool and stuff, go back to the park a bit later. Again, probably have like a character meal or something. You know, like the Winnie the Pooh one's really good, like that. The Crystal Palace, I think it is.
Yes.
You know, and that's, again, that's got like nice views of the park. And then it's got to be like a fireworks show, I suppose, at the end of the day.
Stay for the fight. So you go Magic Kingdom for the full day for your perfect Disney day.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love all the other parks. You know, they've all got unique things about them. But Magic Kingdom's the one that we always go to first when we're over in Florida. It feels like really unnatural to go anywhere else.
It's the park, isn't it, really, when you think about it?
Yeah, so then, you know, finish the day, you know, watching a firework parade. And if they still existed, I'd have a minivan back to the resort rather than going on a bus.
Oh, treat yourself. They're not on at the minute, but, you know, I think they will come back because they're too much of a moneymaker. But treat yourself, yeah. Then you don't have to be on the bus with everybody
they're
else.
They're a bit costly, but the cast members are fantastic. You know, we've had like a great time. This lady who's the cast member, and she said like her house sort of backs onto the Disney area. And that she's been to all of the different Disney parks. So she was just talking to us about that. And it was really lovely just to kind of hear things from sort of a cast member's side.
Yeah, it's a great service.
Yeah, they're cool.
Let's whip through some of your favourite Walt Disney World things then. Favourite attraction?
Yeah, so I would say my favourite attraction is probably Flight of Passage.
Animal Kingdom, yeah.
Yes. So I love the whole Pandora area. It's incredibly well done. So we've only ever done Flights of Passage with Fastpass. So we actually haven't seen the full queue. But
Same here.
I hear that that's pretty spectacular. But I love the theming on that. I think it's so clever. I think it's, again, it's really, really immersive. The sense of like riding a banshee. And then I think I love like the whole, this sort of like the way that you sit on the banshee at the beginning and then you sort of, it's almost like you see stars in front of you and then suddenly the screens kind of all drop and then you see, you know, that immersive, environment. And then the senses of smell, you know, there's like the breeze in your face. It's just really cool. Even to the, like when you're sitting, it's like sitting, I suppose, a little bit like on a motorbike, but you can feel it like pulsating as the banshee's breathing.
Yeah, you feel it breathing between your thighs.
Yeah, it's just it's really cool. I think that's probably one of my favourite rides. But then I like things like soaring as well, because I think, again, you know, that's very sort of similar experience. And I just feel like you get this whole sense of joy when you're on those rides.
Yeah, that sense of flying. What about favourite restaurants? You sound like you've eaten at a few, if you've had the dining plan.
Yeah, favourite restaurants. So really love Boma at Animal Kingdom.
At the Lodge.
Yes, at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, yeah. I love the fact that it's like lots of different foods from different cultures. I love the fact that it's a buffet. And, you know, so actually my eldest son has a food allergy. So he has like a dairy allergy, which, you know, actually now it's getting better. But that was one of the fears that we had when we went to Walt Disney, was how well that they would be able to accommodate that.
Yeah, there's probably no better place to go if you've got allergies, because, you know, they practically bring the chef out and talk you through everything, won't they?
Well, yeah. And at Boma, that's exactly what happened. You know, the chef came out and said, you know, identified what things he could have, offered to make different things for him. Even when actually got to the point where it was sort of, you know, time to choose the puddings, and actually there wasn't anything available there, but he then got in, you know, like dairy-free cookies, dairy-free ice cream, and really brought all that out to him. I love the theming of the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I think that restaurant's just really great. That's, you know, it's a little bit more, I suppose, a bit more adult at times.
Yeah.
You know, like you have, you know, a bottle of wine, you know, a beer or whatever. And then after that, we tend to just have then a little bit of a walk around the resort, you know, go walk past the swimming pools and things like that. Just sort of stretch your legs, try and burn off a little bit of the food.
Yeah, after you've eaten all that much. Have you got a favourite resort? Would it be Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Probably. So the ones that we've stayed at Animal Kingdom, Port Orleans, Riverside, French Quarter and Caribbean Beach. Probably my favourite one that I've stayed at would be French Quarter.
A lot of people love French Quarter, especially for the value for money you get in there as well, with it being a moderate resort.
Again, so the theming's fantastic, but it feels like it's a lot smaller. So you haven't got that, you know, it's going to take you a long time to get anywhere. And we sort of love the fact that you can get a boat ride across to Disney Springs. So that's, you know, that's probably one of the ones that, you know, we'd look at staying again. Otherwise, if I had, you know, sort of unlimited budget, you know, possibly Contemporary looks pretty cool. Yeah, sort of one of the higher end ones.
Always great for walking into Magic Kingdom. And that's walking out of Magic Kingdom as well at the end of the day after the fireworks will be very handy.
Yeah, yeah, no problem with buses there or anything, is there?
No, not at all. So when it comes to planning, how do you usually plan? Do you book a package? Do you like to book in advance? Are you a bit last minute? Do you book it yourself as you go along?
Yeah, so we've, the last few times we've been, we've taken advantage of the free Disney dining.
Yeah.
Packages. So we've done it the first two times, sort of the more recent ones were through Disney Direct. You know, like Walt Disney Holidays UK website. Did all that through there, and that was, you know, fantastic. It was really, really easy. And then the last time we mixed it up a little bit, so we booked our flights separately through Virgin, and then the rest of the holiday was booked through Disney.
Right, okay.
But yeah, I think I like to do it more of you know, like a package. Because I think it's just the anxiety of, you know, whether or not the flight prices go up, go down, what's the best time to book the flights, you know, all that kind of stuff. And things like getting the dining plan included is, you know, fantastic.
So have you booked for next year with the current deal that they've got with the 50th anniversary deal with the it's $950 and the $200 spending money? Have you gone for that or are you thinking about it?
So we literally booked yesterday for Woo! Next year. Yeah, I know. That's a... Yeah, so next year, next August, we've booked for. So we're we're going to Caribbean Beach. Looking forward to that because the last time we went there, they didn't have the Skyliner.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be really cool. So we're going to do the Disney for 14 days, and then we've got another I think it's 4 days booked in at Universal.
Oh, so you'll do a split set? Because obviously there's no Magical Express either, is there? So there's less of that pressure to stay there the whole time.
Yeah, so we booked that yesterday. So that's something definitely
to look forward to. And what kind of deal did you get with the free dining? How much did you get with Caribbean Beach being a moderate? Did you get the full $950 or what did you get for that?
Yeah, so it was a bit weird. So we're in a standard room, but it's got one of the pull-down sleepers. Right. If you've got a standard room, you weren't eligible to get any of the offers. But if you had the one with the extra pull down bed randomly, we got, I think it was $854 dining credit and then a $200 gift card on top of that, so which you can use for dining if you want, can't you?
I was going to say that's like practically, you're almost approaching $1,000 to spend on food if you wanted with all that together.
Yeah, this time we didn't actually book it directly through Disney. We've gone through Ever After Holidays. Yeah, we're trying something a bit different, and then they've handled all the flights and the staying at the Universal hotels as well for us.
And that's all been booked for you? It's all sorted? Flights, hotels?
Yep. We just need to do the transfers.
You can leave that till nearer the time. You've got to think about that, haven't you?
Yeah, we'd normally use Magical Express, but obviously that's no longer, is it?
No, well, but there will be a replacement, but you'll just have to pay for it. But then it depends how much it's going to be, and would it work out cheaper getting an Uber or a Lyft? Or would you ever hire a car?
Have done before, but I think the thing that sort of puts me off a little bit is you'd have to pay for having it parked. We'd end up parking it up, at Caribbean Beach, and then just leaving it there for 14 days. We'd pretty much just use the Disney transportation at that point.
Yeah.
But years ago, I have done it, where we've hired a car and then we've gone from Disney to Universal, and then just driven there.
Yeah, it's handy for that if you're going over to Universal, but if you're staying at Universal, again, you might as well just get an Uber or a Lyft to Universal if you're going to be there for a few days. And then, obviously, you're not going to be using a car when you're at Universal for those days, are you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So having been since the late 90s, is there anything that they no longer have at Walt Disney World that you really miss, that you're gutted that they got rid of?
This sounds really sad, but I used to really like the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience show.
Oh, at Epcot, I love that too.
And then it changed to the slightly weird Michael Jackson show for a period of time.
Yeah, Captain EO, wasn't a fan of that.
No, and now it's, I don't think it's anything now, is it? And it used to have a play area, didn't it, as well, associated with it?
It's now the Pixar shorts. And it's really good. I'd been a few times and I'd not bothered with it, but last time I went, we had a list of making sure we did something we've never done before every day, and we went to see that. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, so if you want to sit down and some air conditioning, Epcot, where that used to be.
Okay. But yeah, and then I suppose the only other thing, so again, used to be a big fan of the Great Movie Ride. We were there on the day that it closed, but unfortunately, we didn't get to go on it again. But I'm really looking forward to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I think that looks amazing. I've watched some of the Adam Hatton blogs on that. On YouTube, that looks fantastic fun. And then I suppose the only thing, I suppose the minivans, it's whether or not they do bring those back, because it's just the fact that it's kind of a luxury kind of thing to treat yourself at the end of the day, get you home comfortably and not not on a crowded bus.
Yeah, definitely after a very long day. And we have very long days when we go to Disney, don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
And you've got next year to look forward to.
Yes, I know. It sort of feels like it's a long way away. But how
old are the boys going to be next year when you go?
Yeah, so next year my eldest, Joseph, will be 10 and Samuel will be 6. So Samuel's now sort of at the height where he can go on some of the sort of like the bigger things, like
I was going to say, have they grown into some of the rides?
Yeah.
Oh, excited. Lovely chatting to you. And David, have a magical day.
It's great. Thank you very much.
And if you would like to join me on one episode of the podcast and talk about your love for Walt Disney World, then we are looking for podcast guests. Just get in touch with me. Find us on social, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Give us a like and send me a message. Just say I want to be on the podcast and we'll sort it out. We'll get you on. The top tip for this episode. Now, you probably don't need an alarm clock when you're coming from the UK, because we're awake at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, especially during the first few days. Well, if you do take an alarm clock, then don't bother with your phone if you're staying at Walt Disney World Resort. Because did you know you can schedule a character call? You can get a wake-up call in a hotel. Well, wake-up calls at Walt Disney World can be from some of your favourite characters. You can't request a particular character, but you can request a wake-up call, and who knows who could wake you up and call your room. Let me know if you've done that. I'd like to know what happened to you. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is where we are. If you can give us a like, give us a follow, or get in touch. If you've got any questions, any top tips, or you want to be a podcast guest, you give me a shout. And also make sure you've subscribed to the podcast. However you listen, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, hit that subscribe button, because we've got brand new podcasts with more memories and more guests every other Friday. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.